Hi, I'm Gilbert. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm the president of Every Nation Philippines. We're committed to plant churches, reach campuses, and bring the gospel to the nations. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
Maligayang Pasko po sa inyong lahat. Now, again, we're in the middle of a series called The Miracle, which really is a series where we look at Christmas as the fulfillment of God's promise to save His people. I love the Christmas spirit. It is my favorite season of the year. As soon as we can put up Christmas decor in my house, kung pwedeng November, we put it up. And then I am the last to put it down. I just love everything about Christmas. There's something different. Nang iiba yung ihip ng hangin sa akin, para sa akin pag Pasko. And it's not so much the festivity, and it includes the festivities, and it includes, you know, reunions, families, and old friends. But you have to understand, at the core of the spirit of Christmas is a sense of mystery. Gets niyo ba yun? There is something mysterious. As commercial as it can get, as festive as it can get, underneath it, there is a veneer of mystery. And that sense of mystery owes itself to the virgin birth of Christ. At its core, what we celebrate on Christmas is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You know, in fact, it's the event, the virgin birth, it's the event that introduces the entire New Testament. And the virgin birth is deliberately, intentionally, blatantly miraculous and supernatural. It offends the human logic. It offends our natural reasoning. And the reason for that is, if you cannot believe the virgin birth, which again is the event that is the gateway to the entire New Testament, you won't be able to believe everything else that follows. And so the gateway event of the entire New Testament is intentionally miraculous and overtly supernatural. Which is why we're going to talk about the virgin birth this afternoon, obviously, which is why the doctrine of Christ's virgin birth is not a simple line item that you believe along with any other things. You cannot separate that from the person, work, and mission of Christ. To disbelieve the virgin birth is to disbelieve Christ and to disbelieve the entire gospel. This is why this is a core belief for all Christians. And that is why for all of us who grew up reciting the Apostles' Creed, naalala niyo pa ba yung Apostles' Creed? It is enshrined by the early church fathers in the Apostles' Creed. Diba, we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. If you condense Christianity to its essential truths, the virgin birth of Christ is among those. Now, our story begins in chapter 1. And most of you know, Matthew began his gospel with a long, boring, if I can say that, genealogy. Diba? Agad-agad, who starts his book with a genealogy? But Matthew dedicates 17 verses to the genealogy of Christ to prove one thing, that Christ descends from David to fulfill all prophecy. And the way Matthew did that was through 17 verses, he repeats himself. There's a pattern, there's a linguistic pattern. Diba? Basically, Abraham, the father of Isaac, the father of Jacob, the father of Judah, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, paulit, ulit, 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 through 17 verses and 42 generations. And so when you finally get to Joseph, the logical continuation should have read, or Matthew should have written, Joseph, the father of Jesus. But Matthew doesn't do that. Again, after 42 generations, there is a switch in verse 16. And Matthew goes, in verse 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, and again, it should have read, the father of Jesus. Instead, it says in verse 16, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Instead of Joseph, the father of Jesus, it reads Joseph, the husband of Mary. Why? There was something different about this birth. This was a divine moment. This was no regular baby. This was divine. This was the moment, as we sang earlier, that the weary world had been hoping for and praying for. Weary from sin, weary from brokenness. All of a sudden, life, hope, and faith entered our world in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, descended from David, but not born of Joseph. Okay, let's pick up the story in verses 18 and 19. And Matthew writes, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." Okay, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we submit to you this afternoon. We thank you for your presence that's with us. We ask that you bless the preaching and the teaching of the word, renew our minds, transform our hearts, and shape our lives into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, we don't practice this anymore today, but in the Jewish culture at this time, there was what they called the betrothal period. In between the engagement and marriage phases of a relationship, and for about a period of about 1 month, roughly 1 month, between being engaged and getting married. And really the point was for the husband to save up enough money to provide financial stability. But the betrothal period, when you were betrothed, you were legally bound, husband-wife na nga eh, to your husband or wife, but without the mutual obligations yet. Okay? And what that meant was once betrothed, you can only be separated by death or divorce. Di pwede mag-split. Walang break up. Walang cool off. Walang time out. Okay? Death or divorce. And yet, the husband cannot bring the wife home yet. There were no physical relationships yet allowed. In fact, during the betrothal period, listen to this, husband and wife were not even allowed alone together. You cannot speak with your wife privately. No? Everything had to be done in public. And so in this era of arranged marriages, you were engaged, you were betrothed. Once you got married, you were still practically strangers. You did not know each other yet. This was the case of Joseph and Mary. And so you can imagine the kind of scandal that Mary created when she was found to be pregnant while just being betrothed to Joseph. Think about that. She and Joseph had zero physical relationships, but Mary was pregnant. What would you assume in that time about Mary? What would you assume if she was pregnant and they were just betrothed? Mary, by logical conclusion, was guilty of adultery. She had cheated on Joseph, diba? And again, back in those days, in that culture, Joseph was left with three options. Number one, the full extent of the law demanded justice. Deuteronomy 22 says, required Mary to be stoned as an adulteress. That was Joseph's option number one. Option number two for Joseph was to publicly divorce Mary. This would have cleared Joseph's name from the entire village, from any accusations of immorality that he impregnated Mary, plus he would receive his dowry back, and plus more, from Mary's father. This was the most advantageous option. In fact, if I were Joseph's lawyer at this time, I will convince Joseph, option number two, panalo ka dyan. Okay, that's the best option for you. Third option, though, was for a private divorce. This was not secret, but a quiet divorce where the law only required two witnesses. This was the least shameful option. It was the most compassionate. Stoning Mary was the most just. Publicly divorcing Mary was the most advantageous to Joseph. But quietly divorcing Mary was the most compassionate option. In fact, Joseph had made up in his mind to do this. There was actually a fourth option, and that was to marry Mary. Okay? But it was so unthinkable that it wasn't even an option. It did not even enter Joseph's mind. It wasn't one of his three options. And verse 20, we'll read that in a few minutes, says, Joseph considered what to do. That meant Joseph really thought through these three options. He debated, tossed and turned about what to do. It weighed heavy on his heart. Think about Joseph. The shock, betrayal, hurt, confusion, the doubt, the guilt, all at the same time while still being in love with Mary. Compassionate nga siya. I don't know how many of you went through heartbreak. And yet, ikaw lang mahal na mahal mo yung tao. I mean, think about that, how that almost felt like your heart was literally being ripped. Okay, that's what Joseph went through. Okay, Matthew 1, let's pick up verses 20 to 21. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Now, as Joseph wrestled with what to do, an angel appeared to him in a dream. And the angel's assurance to Joseph shows us that Joseph was deeply, deeply troubled. When the angel told him, don't fear, it means Joseph was literally gripped with fear. And when he addressed Joseph as Joseph, son of David, again, this was Matthew's way of connecting it to the earlier genealogy. Joseph was just as important to this narrative as was Mary. Now, we know through Luke's account that Mary was told by Gabriel before she got pregnant. Okay, if you read Luke's account, you know that even before she got pregnant, Mary already knew that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. But for some reason, she never told Joseph. Think about that. Mary was pregnant. She knew exactly why she was pregnant. Here is Joseph about to divorce her, tortured mentally and emotionally. She never told Joseph. Did you ever wonder why? Why kaya? Why? There's no way to know for sure, but I would imagine, number one, Mary was scared. She would have sounded crazy. Imagine telling Joseph, I am pregnant by God. Okay? Joseph would, in her mind at least, would have surely divorced her. Talagang Joseph was going to do that, right? So, I mean, that's probably the first reason. Very, very likely. And number two, again, remember during the betrothal period, they were never even allowed to be alone together. So Mary simply had no chance to tell Joseph in private that, listen, this is what happened to me. Okay? But now the angel helped Joseph to understand that it was the miraculous power of God through the Holy Spirit that caused Mary to conceive. Three times Luke refers to Mary as a virgin to emphasize that there was zero physical relationship between the two of them. This means that Jesus was born apart from the normal physical process of human reproduction. He was supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, this is critical, without sin, not possessing a fallen nature like we all do. Therefore, fully God. And yet, by being physically born as a man, God became incarnate through the virgin birth, thus fully human. And so this baby conceived by the Holy Spirit was fully God, but being born by Mary through physical birth was fully man. Verses 22 to 25. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, pinakasalan na niya, si Mary, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph did marry Mary. Okay, he did take her home as his wife, but did not have a physical relationship until after Jesus was born. This option, marrying Mary, was the most miraculous. Stoning Mary was the most just. Publicly divorcing Mary was the most advantageous. Privately divorcing Mary was the most compassionate. But marrying Mary was the most miraculous. And remember, Joseph paid a price for this miracle. Remember, everyone knew that they were just betrothed. And Mary was pregnant. And remember, they were from a very small town. Makakilala lahat. Nag-uusap lahat. Nagkukintuhan lahat. And so for sure, the rumors spread throughout this town. Joseph could have saved himself by publicly divorcing her. But by marrying Mary, Joseph assumed the responsibility for her pregnancy as well as the shame of Mary's pregnancy. Again, they were the subject of gossip for many years to come, so much so that in John 8, I cannot be entirely sure about this, but there seems to be an inference from Jesus' critics that he was born of immorality. So there's enough wordings there to imply that Jesus' critics saw him as born out of immorality. Now, Matthew wrote that all of these events took place to fulfill the prophetic promises. This means everything we're talking about today, the virgin birth of Christ, were orchestrated and planned by God for centuries. Now, here's the thing. God did not ask Mary's permission. And like we said, he did not even give Joseph a heads up. Alam na nga ni Mary, I don't know how many months Mary was in the way before Joseph thought of divorcing her, but for however many months, niwala man lang heads up si Joseph. God simply intervened in the world through their lives. And that's how God moves. Because had he asked Mary's permission or given Joseph a heads up, how many of you know, nag-back out yung dalawa? They would have come up with an excuse. Okay, they would have asked to be given a pass. But that is why God simply moves in the world and in and through our lives. I'll get back to that in the next few minutes. But two prophetic promises fulfilled by the virgin birth. Number one, Jesus will save us from our sins. Chapter 1, verse 21 says, she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is actually, honestly, my favorite Christmas verse. Every time I'm asked to share a Christmas message and I'm free to choose from any text, I always go to this text. Why? Because it is the true meaning of Christmas. For everything that we make Christmas out to be, the true meaning of Christmas is Jesus came to save us from our sins. Why? Because we couldn't save ourselves. All the problems, think about this, all the problems in our personal lives are rooted in sin. Either our own sin or other people's sin. All the problems we face in the world today, including Israel versus Hamas, Russia versus Ukraine, are all rooted in sin. But we cannot save ourselves because we are all fallen. We all possess the original sin. But Jesus, this baby, born of the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary, was born without sin and lived a sinless life. Therefore, he could take our place on the cross and die the death that we should have died as the perfect sacrifice. He absorbed the wrath and the punishment that was due us. And while the virgin birth guarded Jesus from the original sin, it did not exempt him from full humanity. And that is why Hebrews tells us he has been tempted and suffered in every way, and yet was without sin. On a side note, whatever it is you are going through, whatever it is you have gone through, the darkest moments in your life, if you are right now in the darkest moment of your life, Jesus has been through it. He knows. In fact, if I can go a bit further, I'm straying a bit. And please, I hope I say this correctly. I believe in therapy. I believe in seeing psychiatrists if you have to. But the Bible says our healing comes through Jesus Christ because he has been through whatever it is we are going through. And so if you are in a deep and dark hole, again, I believe in therapy and all of that, but I believe, again, I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is they will help you cope with your challenges and crisis in life, but they can never heal you. Jesus can heal you. Go to him first. Go to him always. Go to him every day, even as you go through counseling, even as you go through therapy, but make sure you start and end with Christ because they will help you cope, but he alone can heal you. Had Jesus been born in sin, he could neither save nor sympathize with us. The virgin birth was the means of incarnation. Therefore, again, Jesus was fully man. Okay, the second prophetic promise that the virgin birth fulfills is number two, God is with us. Number one, Jesus saves us. Number two, God is with us. Verse 23, behold, the virgin birth shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The second prophetic promise this birth fulfilled was the arrival of God himself to dwell among men, full of grace and truth. Because he is God, Gabriel referred to this baby when talking to Mary in Luke's account as the Son of the Most High and the Son of God. And what this means was Jesus was pre-existent before even the virgin birth. He did not come into existence when he was born of Mary. He has been existing since eternity past. Jesus is uncreated. Okay, I won't expound on that anymore for the sake of next week's message, but let me say this. The virgin birth is God himself intervening in our world on our behalf. What godly intervention do you need right now in your life? Is it financial? Is it relational? Is it personal? Is it something in your career? Again, God intervenes in our lives. He doesn't ask our permission. He doesn't give us a heads up. But trust me, if you need God in your life, He will intervene. Now, what does this all mean? I'll just keep going. What does all of this mean? Now, we all know the gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, proving that He is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation to those who repent and believe in Him. However, without the virgin birth, this is how the gospel would read. The gospel is the good news that God in Jesus Christ, we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, proving that He is the Son of God and to those who repent and believe in Him. There are blanks. In other words, outside of the virgin birth, what we would have is an incomplete gospel. What we would have is an ineffectual gospel. God could not have become man outside of the virgin birth. He would have become either just God or just man. The virgin birth was necessary for Christ to be both fully God and fully man. Christ could not have lived the life we should have lived had He not been born sinless. Christ Himself would have been subject to judgment and condemnation. And finally, Jesus could not have offered us the gift of salvation had He not been the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. He would not have been innocent, and He would not have been perfectly holy. Redemption would have been impossible. Totoo yan, literal na toko. Okay, wow. All right. Okay. No problem. All right. Think about this. There is no saving us apart from the virgin birth. If there was no virgin birth, then Mary, think about this. Think about the implication. If there was no virgin birth, then Mary was a sexually immoral teenager who cheated on her husband Joseph, got pregnant by an unnamed person who claimed she was supernaturally impregnated by God, then brainwashed her illegitimate son Jesus to believe and claim that he was God. And then together, they fabricated a false religion which now includes all of us as members. But because Jesus was miraculously conceived and born of a virgin, 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." There are 8 billion people in the world today. Historians estimate a total of 117 billion people who ever lived throughout all of human history. And in all of the 117 billion babies that have ever been born, there has ever only been one mediator. There has ever only been one virgin birth. Jesus is one in 117 billion. That is how miraculous the virgin birth was. Let me just leave and close with this thought for all of you this afternoon. The virgin birth was the one birth in all of history that saved the world.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a Victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.